Britain's Conversation, LBC, with Sheila Fogarty.
Simon Marks joins me, LBC's Washington correspondent. 3 weeks to go, Simon.
Yes, indeed, Sheila. Can you stand the excitement, that growing sense of anticipation?
Barely.
3 weeks to go, and everything today focused here in Washington, at least, on the Supreme Court nomination hearing that has just got underway up on Capitol Hill. President Trump will be in Florida tonight, beginning what he insists is going to be 3 weeks of non-stop campaigning. He insists that the doctors have given him the go-ahead. He says that he's not contagious, that he is immune from COVID-19, a claim that Twitter rather questioned over the weekend by putting a warning on the tweet in which he made that claim. Up on Capitol Hill, the Supreme Court hearings got underway just within the course of the last hour. And remember that the President of the United States has nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the seat vacated following the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And this is a pivotal battle that's taking place on Capitol Hill, because if she is confirmed by the full Senate when this is all over, and she does indeed take that seat on the Supreme Court, she will be in a position to change the trajectory of social policy and American society, potentially for 20, 30, 40 years, along with other conservative-leaning justices on the court, unless Joe Biden wins the election and then decides to enlarge the Supreme Court, pack the Supreme Court with additional justices in a bid to dilute the conservative influence.
And that was a question he wouldn't answer, wasn't it? He said, if I'm elected, I'll tell you then.
It's an extraordinary thing to say.
Yes.
It would be like someone in Britain, in British politics, seeking to be the next prime minister, refusing to say whether or not he planned to, abolish the House of Lords. I'll tell you after I get elected. But the extraordinary thing about what's happening here is because Donald Trump's message over particularly the last week, sort of erratic roller coaster whiplash of a week while he was recovering from COVID-19, was so completely lacking in focus that instead of relentlessly hammering away and saying, hang on a second, you can't tell us that after you win the election. Yeah. The voter has a right to know right now. Instead, he's off talking about Hillary Clinton's emails and this nonsense about Barack Obama and Joe Biden should be arrested and charged with treason, and why hasn't the Attorney General acted? So the real question, I think, for the next 3 weeks is if Donald Trump is going to turn this thing around, and it can be turned around, but if he's going to turn this thing around, he's got to find discipline on the campaign trail, the likes of which he has never previously exhibited. And I suppose the real question is, has he got it in him to do it?
Well, he's a good campaigner in weird ways, isn't he?
Well, he's a pugilist, and so he's a fighter. And the one thing you can say about Donald Trump's character is that he never gives up. And, you know, the idea that he's dealt now with COVID-19, perhaps, and is immediately going to begin this punishing schedule of travel through all the battleground states, just like any traditional presidential candidate would have done in the pre-COVID era. But we're in the COVID era, so there's all sorts of questions about how safe people are going to be at these various rallies. I see that in Florida tonight, if you want to attend the Trump rally, you've got to sign a waiver promising that you won't sue the campaign or Donald Trump personally if you come down with COVID-19.
Oh, God.
But he's a fighter, and he's going to fight all the way to the end. But it's not simply a question of slugging away. It's a question of the message that you're delivering. At the moment, the message that he's delivering has done nothing but alienate particularly women voters in the suburbs whose support he desperately needs, and the support of seniors, which is one of the reasons why he's heading off to Florida, to this large retirement community, the Villages, just outside Orlando, which is always considered
must-win. And on that, can I just say, on that business of seniors, that in the space of about 48 hours, if that, he said, I'm a senior. People don't know that about me. I'm a senior.
Yeah, yeah.
He also said, I'm really young. I'm very young. I'm so young. I'm younger than most people.
Yeah, he keeps releasing these videos. There was one video that came out last week that he directed at seniors because he'd obviously seen polling showing that his numbers were cratering among people over the age of 65, in which he says, I'm a senior. You may not know this about me, but I'm a senior. And then previously there was also an interview where he introduced himself by saying to the public more broadly, it's your favourite president here. Perhaps you don't recognise me. There's this sort of psychological thing going on post-COVID about, you know, has COVID-19 changed him? You know, that gladiatorial stance that he took on the balcony, glowering at the television cameras.
Yeah, but he's always been that man.
I suspect we will find out over the next 3 weeks that it hasn't changed him and that he's no more capable of focusing his message in the final 3 weeks of this election campaign than he's been able to in the first year and a half of it. But, you know, one can always be open to possibilities.
And a word on Anthony Fauci. He's not pleased.
He's not pleased at all. I mean, I think that you could probably argue that Anthony Fauci hasn't been pleased for a good long while, but Dr. Fauci is very displeased.
None of us are pleased at the moment,
by the fact. Dr. Fauci very displeased by the fact that he makes a cameo appearance in a Donald Trump campaign ad. And indeed, it's not just in the ad. Donald Trump keeps insisting that Anthony Fauci thought he was doing the right thing, that Anthony Fauci applauded his approach to COVID-19. So Dr. Fauci has now issued a statement saying, in my nearly 5 decades of public service, I have never publicly endorsed any political candidate, because, of course, the ad gives you the sense that he's endorsing Donald Trump's re-election. The comments attributed to me without my permission in the ad were taken out of context from a broad statement I made months ago about the efforts of federal public health officials. So the man who used to stand at Donald Trump's side during all of those COVID-19 coronavirus task force briefings, you remember first it was Anthony Fauci, then Donald Trump sort of lost patience with him, so he went for Dr. Deborah Birx, the woman with the beguiling scarves, of whom Donald Trump once said, she can do 15 things with a scarf. We never found out the detail of what those 15 things might be, because by the time we had any opportunity to pursue that line of questioning, she'd been sidelined and replaced by new doctor.
I'm afraid this one passed me by, the woman with
you
the
missed
scarf.
That? Yes, yeah. Yes. He gave a television interview in which he said that she was a remarkable woman, that she had extraordinary expertise and she can do 15 things with a scarf, because, you know, she was always being seen wearing this very impressive collection of silk scarves. So the mind was sort of boggling about what on earth she might be able to do with silk scarves. But by the time we got past that, she'd been definitely sidelined as well. And now he's got a new doctor he likes. He went doctor shopping, essentially, Donald Trump, and he found Scott Atlas, a man with he's not a specialist in infectious disease. But he agrees with the president that you shouldn't be closing the economy down and you shouldn't be keeping kids home from school and football needs to go on and normal life must resume. So he's the new Dr. du jour at the White House.
Can I have a couple of moments of indulgence with you before we go to the news at 3? Thanks. You know how I like to play.
It's your show.
It's my show. I can do what I like. You know how I like to play when Donald has gone. I mean, it's entirely possible that this Christmas we can say gone by Christmas.
Well, you can't say gone by Christmas.
Because it's January, the inauguration, isn't it?
Yes, I thought about this last time we had the conversation. You can't say gone by Christmas because it would be gone by January the 21st. And actually, I think this raises a very interesting question. If Joe Biden, as the polls currently suggest, and they could, of course, turn around, if Joe Biden wins this election, Donald Trump is going to have between November the 4th and January the 21st to get as much stuff done as he possibly can. And we could see all sorts of unprecedented moves to create a new series of fait accompli that Joe Biden then has to find a way of undoing. I suspect executive orders are going to be signed by the hour at the White House during that interregnum between Election Day and Inauguration Day. It's always been a curiosity for me. You know, when you grow up in the UK and you see the removal vans at Downing Street the morning after the election, this November 4th to January 21st period, when a potentially ousted president still gets to run the country, is always a curiosity, and it could be even more of a curiosity than ever this time around.
Well, let's see what he does with those executive orders. And even if it's not gone by Christmas, it's my birthday in January, so we'll turn it into a birthday present if that's
before or after the 21st.
It's marginally before, but only just.
Well, we'll still celebrate.
Yeah, we'll still celebrate. We'll call it my birthday present, I think, if it happens. Dear Santa.